my unannounced guest, Ben Stanberry here from, he's the chairman of the board for CDSN here. I'm going to give you this so you don't have to be wired. So we're here to talk about the Trusted Partner Network. And I'm assuming everybody's badge got scanned, so thank you for coming and participating in this breakout session. We have kind of a high-level deck that explains, does everybody, who here knows about the Trusted Partner Network? Feels well-versed. Okay. And I think we're gonna skip through some of my portion and concentrate mostly on AppenCloud because this is the AppenCloud update. And apologies for anybody who is at NAB in April. There might be some redundancy around this deck because these are some of the things that we shared in April as our kind of annual update for TPM. So talking about stakeholders governance, obviously CDSA and MPAA, this is a joint venture between our two associations. The content owners and the vendor community is where TPN really intersects. And of course, these are the companies that are behind this experiment. It is new for our business. Never before have all these companies collaborated in such a workflow-oriented and platform-oriented way. It's a very, very large list. Very broad, so we have almost 30 content owners over here, and we have almost 3,000 vendors that are already identified and part of our system. So this is not small. There's a lot of scale involved here, and it also means that we have to manage expectations in terms of how long things take. If this is a private company, we could turn this around tomorrow. But what we try to do is give everybody a voice, not only on the content owner side, but also on the vendor side as well.
Quick plug for the, yes, the website. If anybody's interested in just kind of reviewing that list of content owners, TTPN, the Trusted Partner Network.org. This is one of the pages of the website.
And of course, our goal was to centralize data, optimize workflow, and scale security for our business. We have been assessing facilities for years, if not decades. But it's certainly the evolution where we're all in a single platform to have that information housed in one space. We also were trying to actually build a GRC for our industry. A lot of companies have it for their own internal risk and to manage their own internal processes. But what really Ben has done as the CTO of the Trusted Partner Network, he's put together this great GRC, which has three distinct buckets. Everybody sits in their own particular place, segmented, secure, but they all interact obviously through the main GRC platform.
I would just say a couple of quick benefits from a data security perspective. No assessment data, questionnaire, preparatory materials. Observations, corrective actions, they never leave the platform. So there are these multiple role-based interfaces for vendors, for the assessors, for the content owners to view data, but nothing is going out over email. There are Word documents, PDFs floating around with information about
absolutely. It's also kind of the platformization of this piece of the business. And the idea also is let's get it out of email, let's get it out of spreadsheets, let's get it out of, well, maybe it's Google Docs, wherever, inherently insecure environments, unsecure environments, and move it into someplace where we could all work. Eye chart on the overview. I think the most important part here also, as we talk about the different constituencies, but the governance piece with MPA and CDSA, those are our two responsibilities. MPA still publishes the forward-facing public best practices, so if you want to learn more about what's inside of that audit, we at CDSA work on the control framework and also the evolution of that control framework. That's what's also so important. As we approach the digital age, more things pop up much quicker than the idea is to find it, address it, integrate it into the tool, and integrate it into the assessment.
Yeah, there are a couple of important things on this slide. One is the delineation of responsibilities, the governance duties of the two joint venture partners, so the MPA and the CDSA, and just in case anybody isn't already familiar. As we created this joint venture and created this program, both the MPA and CDSA retired all of their audit services. So, this is intended to be one central industry content security assessment program, and the major step was retiring those two pre-existing programs.
In addition to obviously servicing our studio customers, which that's what the MPA and CDSA are primarily, we also have a lot of vendors in our pool. So we had to make sure that this was a win-win. So the idea around here is to reduce redundancy and reduce cost. There was a lot of duplicate assessments. Some facilities assessed in excess of 10, 12 times a year, that same single facility. So CDSA would come, MPA would come, individual studios. The whole idea is to save time, save energy, save effort, save money.
Before you skip on from that side, just a quick one for this room. So obviously we're going to talk get into this about the kind of the dynamics of the free market model that TPN is designed to operate around. One message that we've been trying to get out there is, if you look at that graphic on the left, as Guy said, many vendors were undertaking multiple assessments. They weren't paying for the assessment. Maybe it was Marvel and Universal or other studios, the MPA going through and assessing that location. But there are indirect costs in terms of resources, potentially attempting to comply with multiple different security models that may in some cases conflict. So we tried to really articulate the value proposition that TPN provides to the vendor community. And we don't, because the pricing model that is undertaken between the service provider and the qualified assessor, TPN doesn't get involved in that at all. But I think it's a helpful little nugget to take away in terms of, as we, from a governance perspective, look at the last sort of the program has in terms of just the entire vendors, we've got just over 700 vendors that are in some stage of undertaking an assessment. We've got just over 100 that are getting ready to undertake an assessment. We've got nearly 200 that have fully completed their assessments. So we've got kind of an average, we can kind of step back and now look at what the average costs have been. So just in case it's helpful to understand, we're talking about a range of $4,000 to $6,000 for these on-site assessments. And again, this is very, very high level of information. We're talking specifically what the cost is. Again, it's negotiated, as I said, between the vendor and the qualified assessor. But considering the amount of work and quality control and the way that information is securely shared with that broad swathe of 28 content owners, trying to really make sure that there's a really solid value proposition here, again, on both sides of the fence for the service provider community and for the content owners.
And honestly, again, in that fairness, right, we have mom and pops, we have single individuals, and we have ginormous, sometimes billion-dollar corporations when we start talking about App and Cloud. So it's got to be something that's fair and reasonable. And we thought that also the market would help as we grow assessors and increase scale and efficiency, we'll even drive that price down even further.
Actually, that's a really good point. I should say that everything we're talking about here is the program to date, which has been phase one, which is the facility assessments, the traditional assessments that were undertaken by the MPA and CDSA content security programs.
Cool. And of course, we are not the arbiter of justice in this world. It's up to those individual content owners to make that decision on whether that facility is approved. There's such a range of security requirements around content. You know, are you doing a reality, reality show, or are you doing, the next Star Wars? Big, gigantic gaps and differences. So that approval will always come from the content owner. We try to do a baseline and get as much covered as we can as is possible so that you can make that assessment, especially if it's something that you don't think is a particular high value piece of content. But that's also where that relationship between the service provider and the studio, we're not trying to cut that relationship out. We're just trying to kind of embolden it and give more data. But that relationship is still hypercritical in terms of the ecosystem, the way we've worked in the past. All right, Ben talked a little bit about our objectives and timelines. We've gotten through phase one, and phase 1.1 was around physical. 1.2 was also around our Guardians program. We'll talk a little bit about that very briefly. Phase 1.3 was also launching an information sharing and analysis center, an ISAC, for our industry, which is also, we've sent out a whole batch of our first alerts, something also that's intended to rise all the boats. A lot of big companies have their own analysis centers. The idea is, what about the little mom and pop? How do they get that type of information? And how do they get it more expediently and also kind of a little more transparent? So we anonymize data, we don't point fingers, but you may have that vulnerability. Windows 2000, this machine, it's crazy. But that's the idea of that broad reach. And also, it's the culture of DPN to change from an enforcement model to a community model.
Yeah, I would definitely kind of reinforce that. The traditional models had been an assessment once a year or once every 2 years, and it really just that report just represented a moment in time. So a lot of the work that you can kind of see here, and that we're going to talk more of today, is about affecting cultural change, the concept of persistence in terms of maintaining a robust security posture. That, again, I'm going to kind of keep on talking about the website because there's actually some helpful resources out there. If you're not familiar with the Content Guardians program, we do a monthly newsletter. It's about anybody can sign up, go on the website and sign up and start receiving invites to events, receiving the newsletters. But it's the main community there is every time a service provider undertakes an assessment, they're required to nominate a security advocate. That security advocate is enrolled in the Guardians program. As I said, they get these newsletters, they get these ISAC alerts.
They also get swag.
Yeah.
Stickers, mugs. I love it. This is a little bit about the ISAC. Chris Taylor runs our ISAC through CDSA. It's great. The community is developing around that. And it also speaks also to information security rather than physical site security. But we have done some alerts and announcements around traditional anti-piracy bits as well. I'm going to let Ben talk about the next phase. And I'm going to have you come up here because I'm going to go yell at the room next door because it's so damn loud. Sorry, I'm pulling a little double duty. There's your down arrow right there. But Ben's going to walk us through a little bit about the cloud, and I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Okay. This is kind of just a little redundant to what we've been talking about. Site security, the facility-based assessments, I kind of gave you some rough numbers in terms of throughput. We've been operational for 8 months now, and again, that hopper is, like I said, around 700 vendors, around 200 fully complete. So we roll into our app and cloud phase. I'm not really sure what this slide is supposed to depict. So yes, we should be using the term assessment rather than audit here, because again, it doesn't culminate in any kind of approval. It's an objective, using this qualified assessable, it's an objective measure of the service provider's conformity to industry best practices, and the decision in terms of what that equates to is the discretion of the content owner. Okay, so this is a good touch points on the major undertakings relating to launching this new program. So we have a peer-reviewed control framework that applies to application and cloud platform, cloud service provider assessments. We've got the assessment methodology, and again, everything is kind of built upon the framework we've utilized in phase one, and leveraging this centralized database. So one of the benefits of the TPN database to content owners is, you can kind of think of it as a Yelp for service providers. A content owner can go into the database, do a quick search, and show me all of the visual effects service providers that provide map painting services that have undertaken a certain type of assessment. And in the future state, show me all of the secure file transfer solutions that are available for on-prem deployments or cloud-based deployments. And that free market model that I mentioned earlier, all of the actual assessment work, actually let me kind of step back a second, the TPN kind of manages this ecosystem. Once a service provider has submitted a request and they've completed the initial paperwork and they're ready to undertake an assessment, they are presented with a list of qualified assessors that have completed background checks, they've sat a proctored exam, they've met all of our educational and skills-based requirements, and they're operating in good standing. We have a number of mechanisms on the back end that check the quality of their work and make sure that they're maintaining all of the educational and professional training requirements. And it's then a relationship between for that portion of the assessment, it's a relationship between the service provider and the qualified assessor. And again, as I mentioned earlier, that's all of the negotiations in terms of pricing are all done directly between those two entities. Okay, it's database. Now this is an eye chart. I think, do we share this deck?
I think so, yeah. We're gonna share this deck with the group afterwards so you can read along at home.
Good. Taking pictures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, you take pictures of that immediate gratification. That's like an Instagram selfie.
Well, I think the main takeaway from this slide is the TPN does not determine controls arbitrarily. We always look to an authority, a public authoritative source, whether that's ISO, whether it's the MPA best practices, any other NIST controls. And then we have this mechanism whereby, because of the relationship with the qualified assessor, and I'm not going to go into too much detail on this, but just give you kind of a sense of, we take that authoritative source control, once we've determined the scope and breadth of the control requirements for a particular domain, we'll determine an industry interpretation of that control, if necessary, or it can just be that master control that we've sourced externally. And then we'll create a number of derivative controls that are specific to a particular environment. The benefit of this model, and this is all driven by automation, scoping, and within the platform, the benefit is that the qualified assessors are not, and the service providers, when they get to see some of the questions associated with these controls, they're not required to interpret how that control would apply to their platform, to their physical environment. Those derivative controls, again, are specific to the services, to the environment that's being assessed. Picture of a spreadsheet.
I blame Keith.
Yeah, but lots and lots of controls. I think that's what this line is supposed to indicate. So these are the control categories. So site security, application security, cloud platform security. Each of those assessment tracks within the TPM program have these control categories, and the service provider selects through the prep process which of those control categories might apply. As you can probably tell, we're reading somebody else's deck here. So I'm sure we'll keep. So the assessment objectives, assessment methodology is to, again, our primary objective is to deliver the most robust, scoped and leveled assessment so that a service provider can just do this one and done. This single centralized assessment with these qualified assessors backed by the MPAA, backed by the CDSA, and then that redacted information is shared with all of the content owners. Again, another quick run through the key stages of the assessment.
You mentioned also persistence, because that's the idea. Maybe we pop back to that last slide. We're going to move that slide, the next one's up on when you think about that annual assessment as being that snapshot in time, obviously with cloud and with application security, we have to have something that's a little more persistent than maybe a one-time visit. And we haven't even gotten to the evolution of where we're doing a year on audit, right? Because then it's really about identifying the delta, what's changed, are you, how does that smoothness go? But the reality also is there are quarterly requirements around some of this that keep us vigilant. And even though it might not be a physical in-person assessment, this is a relationship that's maintained throughout the year. And I think that's also very important on the Admin Cloud side.
And the controls, as we kind of alluded to earlier, with the ISAC, I assume everybody's generally familiar with ISACs, but it is a threat analysis center. Those threat inputs can change the control set, can change the assessment methodology, and recommend that content owners take and service providers take actions throughout the year. Again, that kind of alludes to that concept of persistence.
I was going to say, it doesn't end on the hands-on review. That's that point in time. But then it starts all over again. Because what are you onboarding? What's your product roadmap? What's your development phases? How it impacts your assessment. So keeping track of that and having that monitor is important.
Please do feel free to raise your hand and ask questions as we go.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is the payment piece. Again, the model here is, again, going back to that kind of value proposition slide that we had at the beginning of the deck. Service providers pay that fee, and this is the process that they undertake. Questionnaires, engaging with the assessors, negotiating a fee, enrolling in the portal, making the payments. Once that payment's been processed, then the actual assessment work is undertaken. And that that protects the service provider and the vendor community.
We're making this up as we go. This is probably the most important slide. Actually, as we get to it. So this is our roadmap. We've been working on this when we finally launch at the end of the year and start assessing in 2020. We'll have worked on this for almost 2 years. And this isn't something that's like kind of a voluntary check-in. Keith Ritlop owns this from a TPN perspective, and we're going to give you his email at the end as well. Keith has a day job like Ben does, even like I do. It's just an odder day job. But the idea here is the collaboration that goes into formulating this. Yes, it starts on one end of the spectrum with the content owner community, but we've been working very heavily with the three major cloud providers to at least have a strategy that dovetails with those three powerful providers. But when you think about hybrid cloud, you think about all the different players that have their own cloud environments, it's meant to extend down to that. And I know a lot of the work that's been done on the standard side is also looking at those other frameworks, those other ideas, as you mentioned earlier. But this is really where we're right here. And again, I think this was the April update. It certainly isn't over. And it's the qualified assessor program that probably is the most important piece that we're working on.
Yeah, we've been over the last 6 months, we've been attending sessions and providing kind of very high level briefings to familiarize people with this second phase of the program. And now that we're kind of really getting into ready to start to deploy these services towards the end of the year, a lot of the questions we were getting were, well, exactly where are you? What elements of this program have you completed? What are the timelines to execute in terms of the engineering effort to build all of the functionality into the platform that's required to support this, building the control sets and doing all the appropriate peer review. And that's this eye chart is just to help people get some level of understanding in terms of what's going on behind the scenes, because as you can imagine, it's a large undertaking to get. Chris,
actually, hang on one second. I think the last point on this slide also is, don't think this is just vendor specific. We already have studios who have business units that are going through the program to test their digital workflow, right? To test their vulnerability, because everybody's vulnerable like anybody, right? So I wanted to make sure that we put that in there to know that also as a content owner or as a streaming services provider or we can also assist you. You can put your own business units through this process because it's fair and run by a qualified assessor. Mr. Johnson,
just quickly, sorry, Chris. I don't think, I know you're wrong. I don't think there are slides in here that cover a couple of important points. Just based on the questions that we've been getting from the audiences when we've been doing this previously. Two other things. The app and cloud, so this new program provides two distinct types of services when it relates to app and cloud assessments. One is the baseline assessment of that product, and that's once a year assessment, and then the maintenance effort relating to new revisions or responding to emerging threats. And then the other portion is elective by the facility-based service providers is an in-situ assessment of deployment of that technology. So we have initially determined that file transfer system X meets the control objectives, and there are configuration guidelines produced, and then visual effects localization provider licenses that product, deploys that product, and they want an independent assessor to come in and verify that that's been deployed in accordance with the TPN best practices. So those are two big buckets.
Quick question in the back from Chris.
Yes, I'm a vendor, or I'm developing an application. I want to become compliant with the future controls. What's the point of reference that I can take to get advice that I'm going to do? People spending thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Absolutely.
On this right now.
And great question. Okay, so I think what's important to note here is The best practices from the MPA are being developed to align with the App and Cloud piece, right? That's one forward-facing document, but you read through it, it's a giant laundry list of a bunch of best practices. What we're publishing in the next couple of weeks is a consultant directory for our qualified assessors. So you'll be able to go, it's supposed to launch June 1. You'll be able to go on and actually reach out. We're also talking about moving the payment gate a little bit earlier in the process. So that after the initial questionnaire, which is like 10 questions, and you have to identify your service and asset type, that's what drives the extended questionnaire. But it's very easy. That initial questionnaire should take you 5 minutes. And then being able to work with that qualified assessor earlier in the process, because what we've also seen is they get the extended questionnaire and they're like, oh, I didn't do this, I got to go get to work. But the reality is no. Those can all be remediated post. Get through the process. Get your assessment done. Get a qualified assessor in there to assist. And that's where I think also that relationship between the qualified assessor and the business, that's got to kind of be hand in hand. Not to kind of cheat and get you passed on the test. It's not a pass-fail. It's meant to drive, grow, enculturate, get all your employees on the same page also around security. So as this grows, that's one of our primary objectives. Did that help, Chris? Wonderful. All right, we're out of time, but we're hanging out. You know, Ben's doing two more panels today. I grounded out of Ben's schedule today because he's on site. We're going to do a security session later in the afternoon with the BBC and also with the creative artists. He's also doing the Male Allies panel during the Women in Technology Hollywood program. But we're around all day, and also this is important. Okay, so there was the security ecosystem. There's the website. Right, you're going to get all this. But these are some contacts. So you can reach out to us via email. Reach out to Keith Ritlop. At ttpn.org, or if you want to talk also to Chris Taylor, you have something that might impact the ISAC, you're welcome to do that as well. But thank you so much. Thank you for spending the time in here. We're doing the room swap. Go to your next session. Thank you.